don't know where they go. Kiss me on my salty lips. I bet you feel a little crazy, but for me, we'll be famous on TV. Would it be my fault if I could turn you on? Would I be so bad if I could turn you on? When I kiss your mouth, I wanna taste it, turn you upside down, don't wanna waste it. I jump on you, you jump on me, you push me out, and even though you know I love you, I'd be inclined to slap you in the mouth. When I kiss your salty lips, you will feel a little crazy, but for me, I'll be famous on TV. Would it be my fault?
You are listening to Mouth by Meryl Bainbridge. Now, I realize anyone who's outside of Australia probably hasn't ever heard this song before. But I figured people should hear it, people should have context for it. We do have a bit of a discussion about the song, about the artist, Meryl Bainbridge, because our guest for this episode, Beck Hill, the very hilarious Beck Hill, used to do a bit about using a blender, I guess, that was to the tune of the song Mouth, which, as she explains in the episode, doesn't translate intercontinentally because people didn't know the song. The song was like number one in Australia for about 6 weeks. So there is a good portion of the Australian audience who will already know this song and be very familiar with it. But I figured for anyone who hasn't already heard the song, this is probably a good way to introduce it. This is, given I've built this pre-existing conceit into the show, it's nice to be able to introduce this song in this way. Beck's a very funny comedian. I really enjoy. We're good friends. We've been friends for a long time now, and she's moved to the UK. So anyone who hasn't already encountered her, who lives in the UK, go check her out at Edinburgh or anywhere where she's doing a gig. For other people, if she comes to your country, you should definitely check her out. She is a hilarious comedian who I quite enjoyed having a chat with today. It was really nice to catch up with her. I say today, this was like during the Adelaide Fringe. I'm recording. My God, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm recording this like weeks later. It's just, we're finally catching up with some of these pre-records. Anyway, I'm having a day. Anyway, this is a great episode. Beck is a very funny guest, and I really enjoyed catching up with her. It was a real good time, and I hope you enjoy it too. Come check us out in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. We have two live episodes with some amazing guests lined up of the Just for Funny podcast. Only $10 tickets. Only $10, and you get a chance to win free tickets to other performer shows and to my own show, my solo show, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, a storytelling show with 5 stories that have the themes of a monkey bite, a long bus trip across America, a fire, an arrest, and a mugging. It is a great show. It's lots of fun. It's got some really nice reviews. I've been touring it. I've had a great time putting it on, and I think the audiences have really enjoyed themselves. I think we've all gone on a bit of a fun journey together, and I'd like you to get on board. Come check us out. Come support the podcast. Come support us as performers. Come support me in my solo endeavor. I'd love to see you there. This festival has been a bit of a kick-ass festival. I've seen some really great shows, and I'm looking forward to doing the wrap-up episode and to getting some of these guys and their great shows in front of you guys. So enjoy, Ben. Enjoy this episode.
Turn. show it wide, you might restrain me, but could you really blame me? And you will feel you're blown apart, all the pieces there will fit to make you whole, and I know where they go.
Sequel to Con Air, and you're just watching them, all the people in the plane crash just lay there.
Well,
it's just Con Air, but in mute.
well, Dead Set is the Charlie Brooker
zombie, that's right, Big Brother one. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. We're recording, by the way.
I think that's why I went to zombies immediately.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, Dead is like the clear, because it was even going to be...
We're recording now, Matt.
Yeah, yeah. It was all either right. Going to be Dead.
Butts.
Oh, no. You've just pushed our rating right up.
Now you have to put a language warning on it. Kids aren't allowed to listen.
Oh, damn. Kids are our key demographic, too.
Ruined it.
Like, you really screwed us.
You I'm glad all that stuff about waking did not get in. Thank God.
Yeah, and it's good thing you didn't bring it up again, like, because otherwise we'd be in real,
trouble. Like, kids who like listening to Skype conference calls.
That
target demographic.
It's actually the next big podcast that I'm starting is kids listen to the darndest Skype calls.
Cosby's still involved.
Yeah, it's just his court case. It's really.
Back.
So you're now listening to Matt Harvey. Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
Marty Adam. And live!
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 From the United Kingdom.
Live from London, New York City!
Currently still part of the EU.
Yeah, for another month.
Yeah, well, that's if you guys can sort it out.
The lovely Becky. Yay!
Hello. Yay! And also the not so lovely Becky. Oh, hello. Oh my gosh, it's two of them. How confusing. Why did you get them on the same podcast?
Well,
from now on, we only have people with multiple personalities.
Yeah, yeah. Or just who are sick of their standard stage introduction, and so have developed a retort to their introduction.
Yeah,
which is, I guess, fair. I guess you would get that a lot, right? Is that your standard go to? The lovely.
Lovely. All right. So that's an interesting one, because there's sort of a big thing about how. MCs tend to bring on female comics by saying lovely or nice or beautiful, but when they bring on men, they say like the hilarious or the very funny or the very talented.
I'd like to be introduced as lovely.
What's interesting is, like, I think I am lovely. Like,
I guess I only said lovely in comparison to us.
Like, I've never been offended. Like, I totally get it that is a go-to, like, a throwaway line that is a sort of takes on, like, a subconscious bias.
Yeah.
But I had one MC. I was doing this weekend of club gigs at Christmas in Birmingham, right, which is always, like, ass, but the pay is very good. And and everyone dies. Everyone always has a tough time during them. And I was having a tough time.
Is that why?
And then on like the
so
last
good?
Night of these, like, because Christmas gigs is full of office workers who don't want to be there, and they've been forced to go to comedy. as part of the office Christmas party.
Because their office so is it's fun. Not, like,
you're performing to people who don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's and they've and you know, like, and also they've not paid, so they have no personal investment in it either. Like, they're the special ones that night, not you. So yeah. they're not there yeah. to make you feel good about your jokes and how talented you are. They're there to, like, yeah. And so that's it. And then I was really struggling, and then on the last night, I'd been going out very confident and almost aggressive, because I was, like, trying to put out this aura of, like, don't heckle me because I'll take you down. But it just meant that there was this weird vibe in the room, and I just couldn't get through to them. And then the last night, I said to the MC, who's, like, this, he's been around for years, like, he's been doing comedy for, like, 30, 40 years.
Mm.
And I said to him, when you bring me on, can you say, like, this actor's really lovely, she's really sweet, she's all the way from Australia. And I was like, can you mention she? Say she a lot, so that when I walk out, they're not like, oh, it's a woman. Because yeah, right. most clubs, fine, right? But weekend, yeah. Christmas,
yeah.
club, totally different. And so I was like, can you mention she a lot so that they are aware when I walk out on stage? And I said, can you, like, I was like, feel free to patronise me. Like, feel free to say she's very sweet, she's really kind, she's really lovely. Like, use all of those terms because it disarms them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
and he looked at me and he was like, are you serious? Like,
yeah, right.
Are you sure you want me to use these words? And I was like, no. I'm like, please use those words, because that's when I walk on stage, that's what people see. They see like yeah, someone yeah. who's dressed like a 5-year-old, you know.
Right.
And they and so he did. He on the last night he sort of said, you know, this next actor is really lovely. She's very sweet. She's all from Australia, which sort of explains the accent, so I don't have to do anything about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, welcome to stage. And I came out, and I just for the first 2 minutes of my set was like, oh my gosh, you guys are so beautiful. And then I just like gushed over them. I gushed. I was like, you have the loveliest laugh, and you snort laugh, and it was, but don't you be ashamed of that. You're a wonderful woman. And like, I just was sort of aggressive, but in a really like, I'm yeah, so right. like a puppy. Like, I tried really hard to disarm them and like charm them, and yeah, it worked. Yeah. Like, they absolutely came on board with me, and I didn't have to fight with anyone, because if you try and heckle the nice, sweet, lovely girl, yeah, you look like a dick. Yeah, yeah. exactly. And it just completely switched the audience around. So,
fantastic.
To answer your question, I'm always fine with people calling me lovely, because that's kind of like the sort of shtick I'm going for sure, on stage.
Right.
But I also totally get why it shouldn't be a go-to for
yeah, yeah.
for everyone.
I was just trying to disarm Matt, because he can be pretty aggressive.
Well, yeah.
I was like, Matt, remember, she's lovely.
I was always terrified of Matt.
Yeah, I have. You know? Well, I've become worse.
In fact, I've been prepping for today.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just mostly emotional prepping. Just being like, oh, he's going to be awful.
Yeah. I told Gav that we were doing this. So for anyone listening, Gav is my husband, and we've been together for over a decade now.
Ooh-hoo.
And I know, right? Ages.
Yeah.
And I told him I was doing this podcast, and I said to him, you've met Matt? And he went, yeah, I have. And I went, when was the last time you saw him? And he went, at the Sex Museum in New York.
That's right. Sex Museum in New York.
And I was
yeah.
like, what a weird place to like place someone.
Hey, man, it's good that he remembers anything other else going on in that place.
That was a good day.
But also,
day,
we met in the Sex Museum. We didn't even meet like outside before. Like, you came up to me in the middle of the like the exhibition.
That's right. You guys were already in. And so I was like, all right, I'm going in. Just one ticket, please.
Which is the best way to start a tour of a sex museum, if I'm concerned.
Yeah. Meet me by the giant phallus.
Yeah.
You'll be like, more specific, hey. Though, because there's a few of them around.
In imagination, everything is a phallus.
That's why I'm so aggressive.
Well, I knew that you'd been together well over a decade, because I was in Edinburgh 10 years ago, last year.
Yeah.
And you guys had already been together for a little bit, so.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm. And then we all met in Melbourne.
That's crazy.
Galactic Circus guys.
Yeah, right. That's,
yeah, that's fine. I'll give one more person, maybe they remember it.
That place doesn't exist anymore. Like, just to, if you're interested in knowing that sort of stuff.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
The business.
I went there last January.
No, well, I think it's a time zone now. Like, it's not owned by the same people.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't quite galactic, so it had all been redone and was very new. And
yeah, that's how you knew it wasn't that place.
It was the first time I felt really old, because I think I spoke to one of the people on staff there, and I think I said, you know, I used to work here when it was going to. Well, I was like, oh, I'm that guy. And you know what? I said that because I was really hoping they'd give me extra tickets.
Did you tap the bench and be like, yeah, these little
dog. Yeah, that's right. I like went over to the little roller coaster simulator machine. I was like, oh, man, the amount of making out teenagers I can have for this.
Some of the
and
weirdest...
she was like, well, people used to make out in the back of the day. They just fornicated on it out there.
Yeah,
straight up.
Yeah. But some of the weirdest people came through.
Oh, back
there.
In my day, they just made out.
Yeah. It was a simple time.
Do you know what? They probably were having sex, but I was just too...
Right.
I was just like, oh, they're kissing.
The rest of them are genital roller coaster.
So this place I used to work at, it had... it was an indoor kids theme park. Not theme park, but like play center, like a big play center. And
it was an arcade, Matt. Don't try and like dress it up.
No. Like
it was a different experience.
I'm saying a different place. A different place. So I worked at one that was in Epping, and there was it had started to franchise. That was the second one. The first one was in Geelong, and apparently the Geelong location was notorious for kids trying to lose their virginity inside one of the tunnels, like 16-year-olds inside one of the slides or something like that. Yeah. So you're probably not far off, Beck. Like, you might have just caught them.
I kind of wish I'd lost my virginity now. In the machine, not in general. I have.
Yeah, yeah, just.
You made that very clear.
That was your final shift.
I've done sex, okay?
Like, I might be sweet and lovely, but...
Oh, no, I don't know the difference. Alright, before we go any further, do you remember this, Matt?
Yeah.
I think you were on the shift when this happened. So they used to make out like behind the machines as well.
Mm.
There was like a bit where you could sort of crawl in behind the machines,
mm-hmm.
and behind the simulator machines. And we used to have to go around there with a broom and like scare them out like rats.
Yeah, yeah.
And once there was a teen couple making out, and I caught them, and they were like, oh. After I caught them, like obviously they're like, oh no. But when they stepped apart, I realised that the guy in the couple had no hands.
Right.
From birth or through some accident.
Yeah.
Had no hands. And I was so... I just couldn't understand why she took him to an arcade.
Yeah.
For a date.
What's it like... Unless he's very good with his feet, but...
Like, Dance Revolution. That's, like,
that's it. That's his go-to.
Yeah.
She steers, he does the daytime.
I just remember being so impressed that he was there that I was like, you guys are right. And then I just let them be. I was like, you know what? You've gotten this far. That's, like, I'm a fan of video games, and to me, that's, like, making it to the next level. I'm like, you got this. As a boss, I'm going to stand down and let you go up.
You earn the rank.
I would have given him tickets. I'm like, mate, have a good night.
Yeah. Give him some tickets. Yeah, this will get you on a razor and a lollipop.
You've earned it, champ. Good work.
Yeah. A lollipop as well. Let's just give him a lolly. Don't give him something he has to take
something
out.
Something he has to hold
on to,
yeah.
That he doesn't have.
That's so bizarre. Do you recall?
Oh, man, you got to edit that out. You got to edit that out, man. This is going to come back to bite me. I need to make it very clear that I wasn't having a go people without hands.
No, of course not. Of course not. It's just, it is strange, though. Like, circumstantially, it's very strange. Because, obviously, as teenagers, that's the logical hangout. And so she's probably picked somewhere that she goes with her friends, or somewhere safe, somewhere neutral, like an arcade, where they won't be suspicious.
He wasn't just doing that thing where you pull your sleeve over your hands, you're like, oh, I've got no hands.
Just trying to get sympathy.
No!
Please, sir.
Also, I remember, because, like, this is back when we were only, like, 19, I think? Like, we were pretty young ourselves. So we were only, like, a couple of years older than the people were kicking out. If even, some of them were the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I remember, he was so good looking that it took me ages to realize as well.
Well, there you go.
Like, good for her.
So he
and then I saw he had no hands, and I was like, oh my gosh.
His looks were very disarming.
Doing, like third base involves using something that he doesn't have.
Yeah.
It's in the name, guys. It's in the name.
Yeah. He's become so crafty. The things he can do.
I feel like we should name a new base after him.
It's like heightening your other senses, you know, like he's really good at this.
So what, it'd be like...
Yeah, exactly.
Stumping? Is that... Oh.
What did you say?
Because you're like... You don't. Said... Yeah, it's best if we don't return to that, hey?
We're all thinking it, and none of us said it, Matthew, and you've lowered the tone.
Nah, that's all right. I'll be the one who says it. It's fine.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Have I told you about how I do kids' comedy?
So this would be great for you, for your audition reels. Just play them this. It's fine.
Yeah.
They've all been
on loads of podcasts. Check out this one. It's a Skype call between two of my friends. We talk about stumping.
Well, I remember finding the hole in the wall that the homeless guy was sleeping in behind the Daytona machines, because there was warmth back there. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember this, and I want you to retell it, because it sounds like one of those urban myth horror stories.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so, because obviously we'd have to go behind machines, as you were just explaining, to look for troublesome children. Because it was a 24-hour business when we were working there. So just like you'd get all sorts coming through and just hanging out. You know, people would be kicked out of the casino and they would come down and just get their gambling fixed by putting 20 cent coins into the 20 cent machines. it was so strange. And so on one of those nights where it was nice and quiet, because I used to do night shift a lot, we discovered there was a hole in the wall. It wasn't super obvious, or else we probably would have found it earlier. We discovered there was a hole in the wall where someone had been sleeping. The reason we know someone had been sleeping in there was because there was bottles of urine that had...
Oh, I so don't remember.
You don't remember that? Oh yeah, there's all bottles of urine in there. Because obviously he didn't want to come out, didn't want to get busted, and that would have been like a key giveaway. So whoever was sleeping back there was pretty savvy, had like figured out there's warmth, you know, you'd be out of the out of sight of everyone, because the machines were like geographically they were away from the counter, and you could kind of come in through the exit and just sort of sneak off down the side. And yeah, there's just little bottles of urine, not too many, just like a couple. So I don't know.
Oh, that makes it better.
Well,
how many's too many?
Well,
you know, the worst part is there was a bathroom in the arcade, and it was open 24 hours.
24 hours,
like, nothing was stopping him from using the bathroom.
Nah, nothing except...
Didn't want to draw attention to himself.
Yeah.
Didn't want to get up. Didn't want to be found. So that sort of stuff.
But I don't understand a hole in the wall, like a smashed, like something, like a smashed hole in the wall.
Yeah, so it was a pretty shitty, like, plaster wall. So I would assume at some point there was already a hole. And maybe just...
like the data machine moved back too strongly and smashed a hole in the wall.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But I would assume, okay, at some point he's like gotten in there and dug it out a bit. Made it bigger. Because it was like big enough that you could get a person in there.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, that place was insane.
It was just... that is insane. Have you heard that, by the way? You know how we were talking before we started recording about how terrible it was when you had a guest and they started like eating crisps, like crap chips? But by the way, I haven't gone all British. I say crisp now because I have a whole bit about chips in my set.
Okay, yeah.
And if I say chips, of the course. Delay
it just confuses people
in between me saying it and them working out what I mean.
It's too big,
and they miss what the joke is.
Yeah.
So I've started translating.
None of that. But
it does now mean that I accidentally say crisps when I mean chips, and I'm like, oh, I'm not that asshole that's like all British now.
It's fine.
But it does make my life easier to say crisps. So we were saying how annoying that was that they started eating chips during the set, during their recording. So I'm just warning you that I'm about to make a martini.
Wow. That's not where I saw that going. I thought you'd be like, so I'm going to eat crisps.
Yeah, I was expecting like lollies or chips.
I was like, I'll do this really quiet. And then I remembered that I have them shaken. So I was like, ah, they're going to hear.
Because
it's like, it's like 20 to 11 here.
Yeah.
It's martini o'clock.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely martini time. And I would assume...
It's also 9:40 a.m. here, so it's martini o'clock here.
Definitely. Well. Like, Marty and I made ours before the podcast started, so we're just... we've just been sipping them.
Yeah, well, I make it in your name. Like, if it was someone else, it'd be a different drink. But like, obviously, martini is the closest to your names that I could get.
And Manhattan's.
Oh damn! Yeah, I missed a trick there.
You have.
When we date drink, we do it in your honor too. We're like, you know, it's late enough that Beck would be drinking, and we're drinking with Beck.
Beck Hardy.
You should have Bex. You should have Bex.
Oh
beer.
Yeah, there's actually a drink called Bex. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I thought I was clever, and I was like Bacardi, but
oh actually that's good a too. Drink. I like that. I wear Cardis as well.
Oh, there you go. That's fantastic.
Next card.
Do you know what? I forgot to put the ice cubes in. So actually, the shaking is really quiet.
I was waiting for it. I was like bracing for this shaking.
Can you even hear that?
No.
Not really, no.
Nah, exactly. Oh, that's what happens when you forget to put ice cubes in.
So now you've built us up. You should have at least gone shh, 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 just to give us something.
Okay, all right. There you go.
Awesome.
Maybe I'm not even making a martini. I'm just trying to sound cool. Well, let's make a martini, you guys. Oh, no, I forgot the ice. Oh, no, but it's definitely here.
But I'm definitely drinking.
Is that Milo I hear? I hear Milo.
Oh, my gosh, guys, I miss Milo. I miss Milo so much. I have Milo here, but it's the South African stuff. Not as good.
Not that I'm asking you for a detailed description of South African Milo, but do you know roughly...
I think you are. It's very crystallized.
Okay, yeah. See, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
It's like sugary.
Yeah.
That was me dropping the martini shaker.
That's how she feels about you, Marty.
I want to make Milo in the fashion, in the way that you make a martini.
You probably could.
You said that like it's an impossible challenge, but really all you need is a cocktail shaker. Would you have olives in it as like a because I make a dirty martini, so I have like olives in it with a little bit of olive rind.
Yeah,
would you do that, or would you have it with like Ovaltines?
Maybe I'd put like
just floating in it.
A piece of chocolate on a toothpick.
Marshmallows. Mate, marshmallows and strawberries is your garnish.
Yeah, they're nice. Well.
What you've explained is a milkshake.
So, guys, stay with me. I have an idea.
This is revolutionary. You're going to change the world, Marty.
Make Milo in the way of a martini. Oh, it's literally a milkshake. Okay. I can't believe it took all three of us that long to realise.
Yeah.
We went along with that for so. All it is a milkshake in a cocktail glass.
It's like, yeah, it's a milkshake just more complicated to make. Instead of just like pouring it in and stirring it, you're like process. Shaking and finding different
bits and pieces. And not mixed as well. If we're being honest, it's not going to be mixed as well.
Oh, yeah, no, there's going to be.
Do you reckon you can make a martini in a NutriBullet?
For sure.
Wow.
Like, for sure.
That's like peak single lady with her cats. She's like, yeah, I could shake it, but I don't have time.
Yeah, you just... That's someone at home alone.
It's like using a NutriBullet for the opposite of what it was built for.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's nutrients in a martini.
So I think you'll find that's called bucking the system. You're like, yeah, fuck you, NutriBullet.
I'm showing the man. Do you know what, I reckon? If you booked yourself an hour at Adelaide Fringe or Edinburgh Fringe, where you just made